This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So we just recited right now the Battle of Badr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَوَاعَدْتُمْ لَخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِي الْمِيعَادِ. If the both of you had attempted to agree on a time and place to meet, you would have not been able to agree, you would have differed. وَلَكِنْ لِيَقَضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا. The two of you did not agree to meet, but Allah's qada and Allah's qadr, that Allah had decreed from before, that would take place. Whatever Allah had said, that is exactly what happened. And this is our talk for today, and that is the talk of qada and qadr, the talk of belief in predestination. It is again a principle of iman that is throughout the Quran. It is mentioned in the famous hadith of Jibreel. As we know, when Jibreel asked the Prophet ﷺ, what is iman? The Prophet ﷺ listed six pillars, and the last of them was al-imanu bil-qadr, to believe in the qadr. And then he said in one version, khayrihi wa sharrihi wa hulwihi wa murrihi, to believe in the qadr, the good qadr and the bad qadr, and the sweet qadr and the bitter qadr, which means everything that happens, that which you find good and that which you find bad, that which you find sweet and that which you find distasteful, all of it you must believe that it is from Allah's qadr. And belief in qadr is one of the fundamental pillars of Islam. Without it, a person has not fully believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it is something that our scholars talk about in a lot of detail, despite the fact that questions remain. And I know even in this 15-minute talk, 10-minute talk, how much can be done. Everybody asks about qadr. And qadr is one of those topics that mankind has always been questioning. Every philosophy and every religion since the beginning of time has wondered about qadr. Is everything predestined? Is everything predetermined? Or do things happen spontaneously? The ancient Greek philosophers as well talked about this. And the earliest philosophical writings that we have, they discuss the question of qadr. Within Christianity, there's a broad spectrum. Within Judaism, there's a spectrum. Within Islam as well, you have our Ahl Sunnah, Sunni belief, who believe in qadr. And then you have those who don't believe in qadr. You have an entire spectrum as well. But we firmly believe in qadr, not only because the Quran is explicit, not only because the ahadith are mutawatir, they're more than can be counted, but in reality, belief in qadr is logical and rational. How so? Simple question. Would God be God if He didn't know everything? Would God truly be God if He wasn't ala kulli shay'in qadir? If He wasn't allamul ghuyub? If He wasn't khabir and alim and hakim? How can a God be a God who doesn't know what's going to happen? Those who deny qadr, they end up diminishing the power of Allah and the knowledge of Allah and the overall rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why we Muslims firmly believe in qadr, because it is what the Quran says, it is what the sunnah says, and it is also what our logic and rationality demands. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his cousin Ibn Abbas, he said, oh Ibn Abbas, I'm going to teach you some words, memorize them. And the last phrase in the beautiful hadith, the last phrase was, and know that if all of mankind gathered to harm you, they would not be able to harm you unless Allah had already decreed it. And if all of mankind gathered to benefit you, they could not benefit unless Allah had decreed it. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجُفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. The pen has been raised and the ink has dried. So Allah, or the Prophet ﷺ here, excuse me, mentioned that the pen has been raised up and the ink on the paper has dried, which means what has been decreed is going to take place and you cannot change that decree. Now, very briefly, brothers and sisters, the topic of qadr, please listen to this simple sentence, will never be fully understood by mankind. It is beyond the realm of human intelligence. Why? Because qadr deals with the essence of Allah. It deals with Allah's power. and we will not understand Allah's power. It deals with Allah's knowledge, and how can our finite minds comprehend Allah's infinite knowledge? It is arrogant to presume that our small, minuscule, infinitesimally rational minds will be able to comprehend the majesty and the knowledge of Allah. And that is why Ibn Abbas said, Qadr is the secret of Allah. Whoever tries to delve into the secret and unlock it will end up rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will never fully understand the concept of Qadr. And every person asks, you're not the first person to come and say, if everything is predetermined, why should I do anything? We open up a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, the most authentic book of hadith. We open a hadith in Sahih Bukhari. A man comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listen to this hadith, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, the things that I do, tell me, are these things that Allah has already decreed and I'm just doing them? Or are they things I do spontaneously? And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, these are things that Allah has decreed and you are doing them. It's qadr. Everything you're doing has been predetermined. So the man said, exactly what you ask and I ask. This is in the hadith of Sahih Bukhari. Then, Ya Rasulullah, why should I do anything? This is in the hadith. فَفِيمَ الْعَمَلِ Why should I do anything? Why shouldn't I just sit back and rely on what has been predestined? Notice, this question is not new. You're not the first person to ask this question. This is the philosophical conundrum that goes back to the pre-Socratic philosophers, to every theologian and every philosopher. This has been the crux of the matter. If God knows everything and God controls the future, why should I do anything? And we find in the hadith, the sahabi comes and says, Ya Rasulullah, fafima al-amal, why should I do anything? And the Prophet ﷺ did not get involved in deconstructing the philosophical premise because we won't understand. He simply said, plain and simple, اعملوا, you do what you have to do. اعملوا, you do your deeds. وَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ And you will find that whatever Allah had decreed for you, your deeds will take you in that direction. He did not attempt to rationalize the philosophy behind Qadr because it's not possible to understand. What he told the man was pragmatic, was simple, was to the point. You do what you have to do. You do your amal. You don't just sit back and say whatever is Qadr is going to happen. No, because you don't know your qadr. You don't know what tomorrow holds. So you prepare and you plan and you act and you execute that plan and you do everything you have to do and then you put your trust in qadr. As the man came to the Prophet and said, O Messenger of Allah, when I'm sleeping in the desert, I have my camel. Should I just let it go, put my trust in qadr in Allah, or should I tie the camel? What is the famous hadith? Tie your camel and then put your trust in Allah. This is the essence of believing in Qadr. You do what you have to do, and then you leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very briefly, what are some of the benefits of believing in Qadr? Number one, when we believe in Qadr, we affirm an all-powerful God. Anybody who denies Qadr, anybody who does not believe in Qadr, the God they are affirming is not an all-powerful, all-knowledgeable God. Number two, when you believe in Qadr, there comes an automatic trust in Allah, a love of Allah, a yaqeen in Allah. As Allah says, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا Nothing is going to happen to us except what Allah has decreed for us. Number three, when we know that Qadr is in the hands of Allah, our love for Allah, our fear of Allah, our ikhlas to Allah, our ibadah increases. How much more we will worship Allah because He is our true Rabb and our Qadr is in His hands. So our ibadah is impacted when we believe in Qadr. Number four, when we believe in Qadr, we will not fear anyone. As the Prophet ﷺ said, if all of the world gathered to harm you, they could not harm you unless Allah's Qadr had willed it. So when you believe in Qadr, you do not fear the creation, you only fear the Creator. Number five, when you believe in Qadr, you will then accept what happens and you will be patient in the face of a calamity. You will be able to have the sabr and the yaqeen. And this leads me to point six, you will be able to conquer your anxieties. You know, the anxiousness you feel real. Things are not happening at random. There is a planner who has planned everything. There is Allah Azza wa Jal who is monitoring. So you need to put your heart and your trust in Him. Allah knows best. And Allah Azza wa Jal will take care of the problem that He is putting you in. He would not have tested you unless He knows you can pass the test. The one who put you in the test will give you the mechanisms to pass the test. So when you believe in Qadr, then your anxiety and your worry will be diminished and your yaqeen and sabr will grow up. Number 8 as well. When you believe in Qadr, you will not be an arrogant person. How can you be arrogant when everything, al-amru kulluhu biyadillah, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you will be humble, and humbleness is the essence of Islam. The meaning of Islam is to submit and surrender. And when we believe in Qadr, we must be humble and submit. And the final point we'll mention, and again, much more can be mentioned. The final point that we'll mention, that those who truly believe in Qadr, you will not be selfish or greedy. You will not be selfish or greedy. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is a beautiful hadith in Tirmidhi, be content at what Allah's qadr has written for you. Be content at your place and level after you've tried and you strove and you did everything. Now you have whatever you have. Be content with what Allah has written for you, and you shall be the richest of all of mankind. So when you are content with qadr, you're never going to be saying, oh, that guy has more, that guy has this. No, you did your best, you got what you have. Alhamdulillah, this is Allah's qadr. Then you feel the richest because you're happy. The one who is not rich is the one who always desires more and more and more. He's the one who's impoverished because he thinks himself poor. The one who's rich is the one who is happy with what Allah has given. And how will that happen? Our Prophet ﷺ said, be happy at what Allah's qadr has written for you. Be happy at the qadr that you have and be content with what Allah has blessed you with, and you will be the richest of all people. Realize, brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Whatever happens of a calamity, it happens because Allah has decreed it and Allah has willed it. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَ. Whoever believes in Allah, Allah will guide his heart to hidayah. Our scholars say, Allah mentions the calamity and iman and hidayah and qadr all in one verse. Why? Because when a calamity happens, you affirm your belief in Allah and you say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and you say, lan yusibana illa ma katab Allahu lana. And when you say that, waman yu'min billah yahdi qalba, his heart will be guided to peace, his heart will feel at ease. The anxiety, the stress, the worry, the grief, when you turn to Allah and believe in Qadr, yahdi qalba. The qalb will find that peace that will only come through belief in Qadr. And the final point, brothers and sisters, Qadr, and memorize this, Qadr is never used to justify a future action. Qadr is only used to console yourself of a past calamity. Memorize, it's a rule of Ahlul Sunnah, a rule of Sunni Islam. Qadr is never used to talk about the future. You don't say, I'm not going to go work because Allah's qadr, whatever I'm going to come is written down. No. You get an education, you apply for a job, you show up at work. If you're lazy and you're fired, then it's your fault that you were fired. You cannot blame anything. If you were sitting at home and did nothing, you cannot blame. Similarly, when it comes to religion, don't just say, oh, I will pray when Allah has willed, I will pray. I will become religious when Allah has willed, I'll become religious. No, you don't know qadr. You want to be religious, you do it right here and now. Immediately you make the niyyah, you pray, you give zakah. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, if it is written for you, you will find that the doors open up. You don't just sit back and do nothing. You do not justify a future because of qadr. Rather, you calm yourself of the past because of qadr. You applied for a job, you didn't get it. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. You wanted something really bad, a position in a company, a raise, and you tried your best, and you made dua. It didn't happen. Okay, this is Allah's qadr, and I'm happy. I did my best. Allah has a better plan for me. You justify the past, not the future. Somebody is sick. You don't say, Allah's qadr if he lives or dies. You take him to the doctor. You do whatever you can. La qaddar Allah, he passes away, she passes away. Okay, it was Allah's qadr. We couldn't change the time of death. So, you do not plan the future based on qadr because you and I don't know qadr. You do everything according to the best plan you have. Then when you do everything and it doesn't happen, then you bring in qadr to talk about the past. And you say, it was Allah's qadr. We couldn't dictate that what's going to happen. It was already been decreed for us. And this is the proper methodology of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who firmly believe in qadr and whose iman is raised because of qadr and who are content with Allah's qadr. And we will continue tomorrow, inshaAllah ta'ala.